Well, I want to talk to you today about the way of the fox and the way of the lamb. Now, it's an interesting story, isn't it? And we find the story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. And this is when Jesus was grieving over Jerusalem. New Living Translation says this: "A few minutes later, some Pharisees said to him, 'Get out of here if you want to live, because Herod wants to kill you.' Jesus replied, 'Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and doing miracles of healing today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose. Yes, today and the next day I must proceed on my way. For it wouldn't do a prophet of God any good to be killed except in Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects his chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is left to you empty, and you will never see me again until you say, Blessed the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of the scripture in Luke 13. Oh, I want to give you a little tidbit or a little blessing today. How's that? If you know of anything of songs in the 50s and the 60s, now I'm not going to sing, but I do want to read the lyrics and see if you remember. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender, pretending that I am doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender, adrift in a world of my own. I played the game, but to my real shame, you left me to grieve all alone. Too real is this feeling of make-believe, too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Oh yes, I'm the great pretender, just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not, you see. I'm wearing my heart like a crown, pretending that you're still around." Well, I hope and pray that you remember that song. It was done by the Platters. It was one of my favorite songs when I was a young person. But I guess the question for all of us, can we spot a pretender, that person who maybe hides beneath a high-level position or a high-level of bravado but is low on actual follow-through, the one who issues threats but when confronted hides himself behind his staff? You know, a sneaky, inept, degenerate, cowardly lowlife who sounds menacing but doesn't have it in him to stand face to face with his target. Who can hurl accusations and warning but would turn and run if confronted by the object of his disdain? A loner who needs the approval of his colleagues and peers? Well, that's the description of the fox, Herod of Galilee, in the time of Jesus. While Jesus mentions false prophets and wolves, he reserves the branding of the fox especially for Herod. In Matthew 7:15, it says, "Beware of false prophets, which will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." Now, wolves were those who disguised themselves as good people, but were wicked. They looked and acted much like a sheep, but their hearts were predatory. From Aesop in the early church fathers, the idea that a wolf could easily disguise as a sheep jived to the idea that they are similar in size and coloring. The clever fox looks and acts like a sheep, but he is a dangerous predator. Now, the fox, however, is a different story. The fox can very well disguise as a sheep, because the fox can very well disguise. The fox is clearly and overtly a fox. the fox must take different measures to attack his coveted prize. And usually the chicken, although the fox can go after rabbits and rodents and other small animals, and sometimes even including pets. The fox doesn't try to look or act or behave like a sheep. The fox instead pretends to be a vicious predator, but goes after the weak in a sneaky, sly way. And when confronted, what's the fox do? He runs away. Now, the wolf may be the master of disguise, clever and stealthy, but in turn, the fox is sneaky and seen as a downright scoundrel. And while the wolf is a family-oriented canine, a social animal that lives and hunts in packs and is loyal to his own kind, the fox is a solitary hunter, untrusted by even the wolf. The fox is ultimately untamable because he is a loner. But put a wolf and a coyote and a dog and a fox together in a pen, the fox would be antagonistic to all of them. But for Jesus, this describes Herod to a T. Jesus harbors great disdain for Herod, you know, the one who killed his cousin, missionary and prophet John the Baptist. And not only did Herod have John beheaded, but he did so at the bequest of his illegitimate wife in order to keep face at a banquet of his peers. Jewish himself, Herod had looked up to John the Baptist. And allowing for his brutal death, he not only betrayed himself and his own identity, but God's covenant vision of what was laid ahead. Now, Jesus also knows that Herod is essentially cowardly and weak because ever since Jesus began his own ministry, Herod had been cowering in a superstitious fear, suspecting that Jesus may be John the Baptist coming back to haunt him. So great was his guilt. Now, Herod liked to act powerful and threatening, but Jesus sees him as a very pathetic and weak and a sneaky scoundrel, a morally bankrupt person, if you would, who had no idea who he is and therefore can't stand in his own power. We see Jesus in our scriptures today standing up to Herod and getting in his face, so to speak, talking him back to him without fear or retaliation, provoking him in no doubt, but not expecting any reprisal, because Jesus knows who he was dealing with. In fact, later when Jesus arrested, Herod wants nothing to do with it and passes him off immediately, if you remember the story, to Pontius Pilate. Herod is apparently indeed a mere coward and a scoundrel who wishes others to do his dirty work for him so he can evade responsibility. You know, it doesn't make him any less of a predator, but he is a pathetic one. He can't attack his prey face to face in the open with strength and resolve, and when face down, he simply slinks away. By calling him a fox, Jesus said all that needs to be said about old Herod of the Galilee. Meanwhile, Jesus' message is mysterious and elusive. In 3 days, he said, I'm out of here. I got to get to Jerusalem so God's final plan can come to fruition. No prophet can be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jesus knew what he would be walking into, something far more threatening than Herod. For Herod, he had no time. He had bigger fish to fry. But now we can't know whether Jesus' 3 days were a literal number of days that he spent traveling through the Galilee, or whether he was also referring to the 3 days that it would take before his resurrection. But we do know this. His eyes, his mind, and his heart was resting on Jerusalem. Reflect a little bit on Luke 13:34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you had killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to you. How often have I wanted to gather your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but he didn't want that. Now it seems, no mistake, Jesus' metaphor for himself during this lament is a chicken, a hen in fact, the favorite and usual prey of the fox. However, by the time Jesus gets to Jerusalem, he'll become instead the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, not the helpless, defenseless chicken trying to protect her young, but the temple sacrificial lamb, the honored one who will take upon himself the sins of all of God's people through his willing death. You see, for Jesus' plan is God's plan. He did not pray, but a volunteer, not a victim, but he was a willing sacrifice. And while the way of the fox is cowardness, the way of the lamb is victory, and the true strength that comes from sacrificial love, authenticity, and truth. So within days, Jesus will stand face to face with his accusers and offer himself to be chosen for the slaughter. He will not run, he will not hide, he will not back down. He will stand before them in God's holy strength because his power lies in who he is. After all, he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And his identity as such gives him the courage which lies in what he knows comes ahead. Well, this is the way of the Lamb, God's way, the way of truth, hope, and love, and the way of courageous discipleship. The way of the early Christians who would not deny their faith in Jesus despite the threat of injury, torture, death. The way of the people around the world still today who give up their lives for the sake of the gospel. You know, in Ukraine, you know, the churches are open. Pastors and priests and so forth have the churches open every day for people to come and to be encouraged in the faith. You know, those folks are putting their lives right in front of the whole world to help other people so that they can share the gospel. Because we know no matter what happens, if we have the gospel, Jesus Christ, in our life, yeah, we might get killed in war or we might get killed somewhere. But if we hang on to the blessed hope that we have in Christ, we got something more blessing to look forward to, eternal life. Today, in this time of Lent, as we're celebrating the Lenten season, as Jesus slowly makes his way to face his accusers and bear the cross, you may feel the power of Jesus' sacrificial love. And you too will follow the way, the truth, and the life of God's holy and blessed Lamb. You know what's interesting, just to close with, is the wolf, who disguises himself as a sheep, the false prophet, stands in opposition to Jacob, the true but hidden covenant carrier, who disguised himself as the hairy beast-like Esau in order to obtain his father's blessings. Thank God we don't have to do that. We just thank God that he blesses us if we will only trust and believe and obey that he is God manifested in the flesh, and he has come to give us true life, not only in this world, but in the world to come. I like the scripture in John when Jesus said, you know, you're in the world, not of the world. But in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but fear not, I've overcome the world. God bless you. Hope and pray things are going well for you, and keep on praying and keep on watching for your redemption draweth nigh.